Suspended public protector Advocate Busisiwe Mkabane is still not able to return to her office after the Western Cape High Court on Friday reserved judgment in her bid for immediate reinstatement. A full bench of the Western Cape High Court ruled a week earlier that President Cyril Ramaphosa has been conflicted when he decided to suspend her. This has been appealed by both the DA and Ramaphosa. The public protector is also facing a parliamentary inquiry into her fitness to hold office. We welcome this morning to Radio Islam International Advocate Busisiwe Mkabane. Advocate Mkabane, a very good morning to you. Thank you for your time and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning and good morning to your listeners and thank you for the invitation.
There's so much happening in your life. All of these legal battles at different fronts and then the parliamentary inquiry. How are you feeling? How does all of this make you feel?
It makes me, realize that sometimes, you know, if you are intending to assist the poor, the marginalized, and make them to be, protected from the most powerful, then you are not the person to be treated fairly, because that's all what I'm doing. But I think I wouldn't just give up. I will continue doing what I think is best for everyone. Yes, it's taking a toll on me and my family, but I think that's what it's meant to be. Allah wanted me to be used as a vessel, to assist those who cannot have a voice, to be the voice to the voiceless.
Do you believe there's a conspiracy against you? And if so, by whom?
The most powerful, because they don't want to account. Indeed, there is. They wouldn't want me to be in that office, because that's the only office which is remaining to protect the poor and the marginalized, and especially with people who will be saying they are dealing with corruption or there is state capture, but you find that when complaints are lodged against them, there is damning evidence which proves that they are also involved in maladministration or corruption.
Hmm. Do you believe President Ramaphosa is also part of the conspiracy against you?
I wouldn't want to venture into that because I would say, you know, there is this narration that it's as if I am fighting the president. And people forget that complaints are lodged by your DA and other opposition parties and other individuals. And the only thing I did or my crime is to investigate, honestly, so find evidence which is proving that there is maladministration or there is untoward or malfeasance which proves that the president also has to account to.
So you mentioned that the rich and powerful don't want to account and they are conspiring against you. Your detractors argue that this is more of a factional thing, that if you look at some of the verdicts that came out of your office that were overturned by courts, it would seem like you were trying to protect some of the corrupt with regards Frieder, with regards the suspended ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule and others, and they argue that that is not in the interest of the poor.
Definitely, that's not true. Remember that Frieder matter was investigated by my predecessor.
Mm.
The only thing I did was to finalize whatever work I found having been done, whatever complaint and evidence which was before that particular office. And there is nothing like that. I think during the inquiry, it was very clear. We've tried during cross-examination to show South Africans, if you were following, that whatever evidence which was before us, there was no way where those politicians were implicated. And after that, I conducted a new investigation where there was findings against them on their role of oversight, not necessarily of any corruption. And also, we found that the beneficiaries should be assisted. And I think you've seen the Premier of Free State indicating that they are implementing our report. So, you know, I wouldn't want to, because there's that media, mainstream media will then, and at the very most powerful, who are the owners of the very same media, they will perpetuate a certain narration. Mm. And I would just say to the public, go and, you know, to our website as the Public Protector, read for yourself, to our social media pages, to get information directly from us, not be fed a certain narrative which is totally wrong. And there's nothing like that.
Sure.
If you could see, we've investigated every other politician who we've received a complaint against, whether it's DA, whether it's any other political party, whether the ANC, who is said to be in certain sections. So, unfortunately, then one is being bogged down by this narration which is created, which is not the truth.
I want to ask your comment on some of what your staff have testified to at the parliamentary inquiry. Based on the point you've just made now, some of them have testified that they were put under pressure to exonerate some of those accused of corruption on the more serious charges, albeit that they were implicated in some of the lesser charges. Then with regards to the issue of you coming back to your office, now that that court has ruled in your favor in terms of the president being conflicted, one of the arguments being made is that if you were to be allowed back into your office, you would intimidate witnesses. And those who push this argument lean on what some of your staff had to say in their testimony at the parliamentary inquiry. Some described you as authoritarian and bullish. Others alleged that you made them bow literally and call you madam. Mm-hmm. Some described you as an uncaring boss who victimized staff. What's your response to this kind of characterization of your leadership within the Office of the Public Protector?
I think, you know, if you again listen to their testimony and the cross-examination, they totally fell flat because, I mean, the issue of me wanting to investigate certain politicians, it was mostly the issue of the Friede matter, which there was no evidence, there was no proof. I think one Samuel was pushing that narration, who worked with the DA to have that motion. And you had Mr. Ndou, who was the supervisor of this Samuel, contradicting and saying there was nothing like that. The issue of bowing, Mr. Ndou, who's been in that office for more than 20 years, saying there's nothing like that. The only thing was that when there are meetings, even during my predecessor's time, I enter the office, they rise, and that's it. There was no bowing down. And the issue of me going back, they've already testified. I've already worked with them for a long period of time, since March, when I was set, in fact, 2-3 years ago, when these allegations were posted. And the only thing which I would say to South Africans, I'm going back to that office to do the work to protect them. And it's so painful to see parliamentarians and even South Africans, or even, I mean, the questions you are asking, when one wants work to be done to remove this thing of public servants. I mean, we investigate public servants who are delaying to render services. South Africa is terrible with service delivery. And now you find people earning even more than 1.6 who don't want to even meet the targets they set themselves. So going back to the office, my focus is the public.
Yeah.
We should continue doing the work. We should continue to protect the public.
Sure.
Why must we just as well change and turn this inquiry into a CCMA? That's terribly embarrassing for even the parliamentarians to even, you know, not want to make sure that there is consequence management and people should be paid and do the work. And few instances where, you know, a person sitting with the work for more than 2 years, and when you want that work to be finalized, then it's a question of being heartless and not caring when they sat with that work for ages. I mean, that particular staff member who said to have had serious health challenges, he had health challenges before I even joined that institution, and there were several instances where I was saying to him, he should be taking medical boarding, especially because that was taking a toll on his life. Yes, those things they wouldn't know. They will just portray me as this person who is heartless. But I think you would know that my time is also coming where I will tell my side of the story. But then I would just say, on the face of it, it's embarrassing to see people just accepting laziness, and when we should be leading by example as public protector.
Finally, Advocate Mkabane, we're almost out of time, but I want a quick comment from you on what you said earlier on, that the powerful are conspiring against you. One of the arguments made in response to that is that you've lost some 37 court cases in terms of the decisions that you've made. Approximately 147 million rand has been spent by your office during your tenure on legal costs, according to some reports. And the question that some of your detractors ask is that if there is this conspiracy of the powerful against you, if we look at all of these court losses, does it mean all of these judges are also part of the conspiracy?
You know, it's so problematic to even as well, because that's what they feed you to believe and have this narration. And that 146 million, it's since 2016. And I mean, it's because of the Nkandla judgment, which said, if you are not happy with our decision, take it to court. And not to say all those matters, they were taken to court by these people who don't want to account because they have the resources. I mean, we are defending those matters on behalf of the public. And I mean, if the judges feel that they would want to protect those who have the resources and not focus on justice and not focus on the poor and the marginalized, there's nothing else one would say, because that's their responsibility to make sure that they protect. I mean, you forget to even mention that quite the very same president, quite the very same department, quite the very same parliament, it's your responsibility to even ask, how much are they spending to take this consular institution to court? It's so, you know, tiring to always repeat one and the same thing. It's for those judges as well to ask themselves if these matters are brought before them. Forget about the incumbent, but look at what impact their judgment will do to the public. So I think it's just tiring to repeat one and the same thing. And one is trying to protect the public, and one is just being held to. It's like every time I have to justify myself when I am trying to be protecting the public. And it is terrible, because the very same people who are questioning all those things, they are not even checking if the departments who are taking us to court, who are not happy about our outcomes or our reports. So it's purely that. And you know, out of the 412 reports which were issued, only 37. What percentage is that? And really, now should we be discussing that? How many matters have the police lost in court? And billions and billions. How many matters of health negligence? Are you guys looking into that? Or you just focusing on this because you are being told, because they don't want me as a person who's exposing their rot and their malfeasance. So I think it's a very sick society we are living in, unfortunately, where a constitutional institution which is meant to be protecting the poor and the marginalized, and you are being directed to just focus on this office because you are being told to do that. So, but anyway, that's why I said to you in the beginning, I will stay on so that those who have eyes will see the road which we are facing as a country. And unfortunately, some of the people will realize when my time has ended what I was trying to be doing, yeah, and what people are fed, what narration people are fed, just to focus on that and forget about people accounting, people you are appointing to occupy those positions. You understand?
Advocate Mkabane, there's so much more that we could discuss, but let me thank you for availing yourself and for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.